Amen. Thank you, Brother Joe and Miss Shelley. We're going to be in Genesis tonight. We're going to be in Genesis chapter number, been debating all afternoon where to start. We're going to start in chapter number 13. We're going to look at a phrase partway through tonight. It'll be the message. It'll be the sign for the week. And it is a week to consider the saying. We're at a big week for our nation. It's going to be a historic week no matter what happens. It's crazy to think about. Like, I'd really think about hard if you had to go somewhere this week. I just, you know, anywhere. I mean, just like really think about it. Like, I just, stuff that went on this summer were things that you just never thought you'd have to say. Oh, I'm watching TV and watching some of our own citizens like organize, gather, and do things that you'd never thought possible. Like, what did that statue ever do to you? Like, what did this guy ever do to you? Like, what is the deal? Like, we've lost our ability to debate causes, to have back in the day, you debate, and that's what college campuses were for. So you go to a college, you'd have to get a hall set up, you'd have a speaker, and you'd just have a debate. And you could either be for one side or the other, but you'd listen to arguments, and you put somebody that was halfway intelligent about your argument against the other person, and you just listen and reason those things out. But now it's just like, well, we don't like this, we don't like that, and I don't think it really matters what happens this week. There's going to be some chaos either. I don't really see things going back to being anything less than what it was like this summer. I don't see how it would. I mean, if this one side's willing to go that far and do those things, like, cool. Then I say one side. There's people that don't give a rip about what's going on. It's just, hey, there's some destruction going on. I'm going with it. You know, it's like, there's people in the group that say, I don't care who's in charge. I just want to wreak havoc, you know, and that's no way to be either. Tonight, when we look at a message, it is this message tonight. It is something that God is something that Abraham has learned about God, and something that he has, his heart is like, I mean, it's just set on this. It's just, you can't change it. No events can change it. Nothing's going to change it. And we talked about this in Sunday school this morning. When you're living your life, you're heading towards heaven, you got a relationship with Christ, there's got to be, your end has to be fixed. That no matter what happens in it, concerning your life, events, teachings, whatever, it can't knock you off track. Your sight has to be out farther than tomorrow. It has to be out farther than next week, 10 years from now, 50 years from now, whatever. I mean, it's got to be out there and say, well, if this happens, then surely I'm going to get off track. That's got to be out there. That sight has to be out there. We'll start tonight in Genesis chapter 13. We're going to read and just move around a little bit to make the main point tonight. And then this week, I mean, it's just to understand as a pastor, you think, well, what can I do to encourage somebody in this thing? Because, I mean, I just, you know, thought about coming tonight and saying that if the queen would have got elected 4 years ago, we'd have had to endure 4 years of that. I'm thinking, oh, is any worse thinking about the other or not? I just, every time I see a picture, I'm like, oh, Lord, it's not going to go. It doesn't go away with people. Evil never. It's always going to be there. Always going to be there. It's like, well, if we could just, it's going to be a new, you know, it's like our thing with those anchors. Like, well, if the mayor was gone, you don't want to be that way. You want to be for righteousness, and you want to stand for those things. The Bible says here in verse number 5 of Genesis chapter 13, we have Abram and Lot. The Bible says, Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. The land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Father, we pray that you'd help us be a blessing tonight. I don't know how you're going to do this, but you're going to do it. And I pray that you'd show us tonight. We thank you for your grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A lot of people can't get along. A lot of it's because of stuff. A lot of it's because of ideas that don't matter. They don't mean nothing. In the end, it doesn't mean anything. Where we're at in our nation is people want to do their own thing. And some say that there's a being greater than ourselves that has already said what those things should and should not be. I mean, that's basically where it comes to. And I look at pro-choice and I look at things like that, and it's the pro-choice, that doesn't sound like anything to anything. They say, well, what does that mean? Oh, that just means as a woman, I can do what I please because it's my body. Now, I get that. Like, I understand that. That sounds like, okay, that makes sense. What are we getting at? Well, if I have a pregnancy that I don't want, then I should be able to, right? But somewhere, we have to decide, where does life start? Where does it start? Does God give life? Do we create life? So we could take you to broken couples that can't have children. Why do you cry? Why do you cry? We can't. Well, all you got to do is this, and then here comes it. No, it comes from the Lord. Yeah. And then you have some people that it's just like, holy cow, quit having kids. You know, it's like, man, right? But again, it comes from God. Well, we should be able to decide. We should be able to. We're just thinking, well, life's not a choice that we, God give, I mean, and you try to explain it, it gets right down to just the basics of existence. It's like, well, we didn't just show up. Well, some of us believe that we did just show up, you know? And I mean, it's a whole mindset that goes into this thing. Here we have two groups here, and they cannot dwell together. Now, the side note, here's Abraham. Now, he was an important man, but God took him away from everything he knew. Brought him to somewhere where he didn't know, and he has so much that there's not room. Okay? That's a promise of God. And you follow God, God's going to bless you for it. No matter what it is, he's going to bless you for it. You follow God. The Bible says there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. The Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And I don't know what conflict they caused, if they had issues, if, you know, well, we need a little bit more room, we're going to go out this way, and they had to deal with the Canaanites, and like, hey, look, you go over there this time and deal with them people. We did it last week, and we, which, I don't know how all that went down. Verse 8, Abraham said in the Lot, let there be no strife. That's a mindset, people. That is a mindset. I mean, we talked about that all the time in the Garner House, right? You could say things and have strifeful words. Like, the words just carry strife. Like, you may as well throw a snake into the room or something. Well, I'm trying to help. No, it ain't helping. That doesn't work. I mean, there's ways to ask. There's ways to do this. And we'll pull up verses about that strife. Because it's easy sometimes in the flesh to say, ooh, and it's like, ooh, that kind of hit like a wire brush. That kind of hit like barbed wire. You ever climb through a barbed wire fence that changed your life? And now we've built enough barbed wire fence that, you know, you think, oh, I'm going to think it through, you know, your gut, you know, and, well, I got holes, I've been punctured. Man, it's tough. It's tough. But this was the mindset. Abraham said, let there be no strife. We didn't get here because of strife. We got here by obeying God. We got here by doing what God had have us do. We didn't get here by fighting. We got here, and he is so much for that. He said, I pray thee, I'm asking you, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, will we be brethren? He says, is not the whole land before thee. Separate thyself, I pray thee from me, that will take the left hand, and I'll go to the right. Okay? Let there be no strife. Okay? This is Matthew 5, 6, and 7 discipleship teaching here. Give the other person the choice. Him a choice. What is meekness all about? Meekness is having the ability, but not using it. Meekness is having the power to do something, but you defer to somebody else. That's meekness. Like, oh, that's weak. No, it's not. Controlling what you have within you, right? When you could do something. I could have the right to do this. I could squish this. But you don't. You give somebody else the choice. And here, you choose. You choose which way you're going to go. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered, right? When you have critters, that's what you're looking for. You're not packing all that with you. You want water. With water comes the places to graze the animals, all those things. it says, well watered everywhere. And then verse 10, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, which would make you think after the destruction, probably wasn't the best place to graze animals. Just probably wasn't. It says, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. It was a place to be compared to other places when it came to fairness of somewhere to live and to dwell. Lot chose them all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. The Bible says that Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Well, Lot got there and it got bad. No, it was bad. It was just bad. Well, why didn't God destroy them before Lot got there? Why didn't God do it? God's merciful and he's sovereign. And you look at where we sit as a country and be like, why doesn't this happen? Well, what God does, he doesn't just reverse either. So, I mean, it's like, well, we'll take the mercy. We'll take it. Help us to be merciful. There's lots for everybody, everybody to learn a situation like this. I don't know if we'll have time tonight. Go into the New Testament and look at the description for Lot. That Lot is described as a righteous man. I think a lot, I can't purge from my mind forever the blunder, the what led him to go and live in Sodom and take his family there. I can't separate that in my own mind. When I study Bible and read Bible, I hear Lot. I wouldn't name my kid Lot. I wouldn't meet Lot. I said, man, that's a brick. You know, give me somebody named Lot. Hope that's short for something. What's the rest of it? I'll call you by that. It's hard. All we can think of is that part. But I will say this, in Lot's behalf, we will see Lot. The Bible calls it righteous Lot. They made some bad choices. Very bad choices. But he is described in the Word of God as righteous. The Bible says the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. You say, well, not the place that needs to be destroyed. Not the place that needs the gospel. That's the place where somebody says, I'm going to go and be in, but not of, and let the chips fall. I'm going to show Jesus to them and let happen what happened. If they take me and, you know, burn me outside, whatever, but I'm taking Jesus there and then let it be judged. But that's not somewhere that needs to be. Okay. That's the wrong thinking. Okay. That's no different than Hitler saying we need to exterminate this race of people because their blood's tainted. I mean, he seriously believes. I mean, you read the thoughts that led to some of the writings I can't remember, it's Mein Kampf, these different writings. Did he actually believe there's something wrong with the Jews' blood? It never could be right. Now there's a lot that goes into it. It's the devil working the back there and saying, we need these people to share God's people. He knows. Okay, God said they're going to come back. They're going to, if they're all separated and I can destroy them all, then there's nobody left to come back to fulfill prophecy. How else? Give it a shot, right? And 6-7 million Jews later, but he believes that. There's no difference between that and saying, well, let's just destroy Sodom because of who they are. We're going to take Jesus to them. We need to take Jesus to them. We need to preach the gospel. There's nowhere in the world that the gospel will not work. So Lot decides to go there. What else started with his tent being pitched facing there? And he'd wake up and he'd see the place. And the Bible says in Lamentation chapter 3, mine eye affecteth my heart because the daughters of my people. It's a different reference there. Jeremiah is busted and he's crying because he sees the people of God destroyed. And it's not because God's cruel, it's because they won't obey. They won't listen. And they're going through it and they're just, I mean, they're being wasted. And he said, why? And it just, but he's the weeping prophet and he cries. And he cries and he cries. You hear Lot? Man, it's over there. You know, think he didn't know? Didn't think he didn't know what it was going to be like? He didn't count the cost. He ends up working his way there. Chapter 14 is won't have time to read it, but just going through it. Lot gets captured. He gets taken. He is a I'd say called a citizen of Sodom. He was underneath the kingdom of those kings, and they had concern about him. The kings of Sodom, they had concern about him. So Abraham, because it's his family, he hears word that they've been captured. He's like, we're going with them. He gets all of the servants ready, gets everybody ready. They go and they get them back and they bring them back. They bring all the stuff they had back. And it's a super interesting chapter. There's the, let's read verse 17 of 14. The king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedorlaomer and the kings that were with him at the Valley of Sheba, which is in the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And I can't stop and talk about Melchizedek tonight. We'll never finish because between here and Hebrews, it's its own deal. But we have pictures, of Christ here. The Bible says he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and of earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And this is one of the teachings in the Word of God that says, well, we're supposed to tithe because the law says we're supposed to tithe. And it says, the law, no, it said tithes come from a heart to God. I said, and look at Abram before there was a law. He was tithing to God when he gave to Melchizedek. I mean, it's just a picture, but that's not where we're at tonight. The king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself, right? Because there was spoil there, but he got everybody back. But again, going back to this mindset that Abram has, he said, let there be no strife between us. Because it's not about, well, I want to have the most herds. I say, I want my relationship right with God. I want my relationship right with my neighbor. And right now it's Lot. So we have that mindset, no strife. Somehow let's work this out that there's no strife. Wouldn't that be a blessing, parents, at all times? I mean, that'd be huge, right? Be like, you know, and you come along and your kids are holding counsel and you're like, wow, this is amazing. Let me just sit down and listen to this. Well, I'd really like to have this if I could. Yes, but that's in my possession and I really don't want to. Okay, well, and they're just trying to work it out. It's usually not how it's usually by King Rage, is it not? And the sword and all the, and the golden rule, he that has the gold and all that stuff. And I'm taking that. That's murder. This is, you know, whatever. And you're like, oh, if we could just, but no matter what happens, no strife. Whoa, wonderful. That would be great. Wonderful. So they have no strife. Here's another one. Verse 22. Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord. Okay. This will keep you away from having ideas of, you know, government bailing you out. It's a mindset. Well, I don't have, so they should watch out for them. You don't want them doing that for you. You don't want them deciding which hospital you can go to and have a baby at. You don't want them telling you which doctor. I mean, think about this, right? These are people that think that taking babies and making them into pieces and selling pieces is okay. Then they decide, well, if we could determine which doctor you have, what doctor do you think you'd have, ladies? Well, here are your options. You could, I mean, if you've ever thought about this, you'd be horrified. That, I mean, if you just go down the road about just not very far, this is where they said that, and you. And your husband, and he should come home crying, well, out, or he's like, what happened? Who's Dr. Well, it's like, that's where that stuff goes. Well, we want to have our baby. We want to do, where in the world? Abraham says, I've lifted up my hand unto the Lord. I'm trusting him. We're going to go to him. Says the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. God owns all things. Abraham's a rich man because of stuff. We would look at him and say, he's a rich dude. He's the guy you're going to go ask for a loan, right? Abraham, right? We're going to say, here's this, here's that. I need a loan, right? He's got to say, no, it's all the Lord's. It's all the Lord. It's the mindset. It's the principles that he talked about, maxims, I think on Wednesday night a little bit. Maxims that George Washington had. This is one of Abraham's maxims. He said, the Lord possesses heaven and earth. And you couldn't take that from Abram. He's lived it. He's seen it. He's older now. Abram's not 40. He's not 38 going to do this. He's an old man. We're going to turn the pages here, and it's going to be, you're going to have a son. And he says, what, you know, I mean, that's just right around the corner from here. He's old, but he's lived these things, and he knows, and he understands. He says, Lord, possess all these things. I don't want any strife. I love my family. You mess with my family, I'm going to go and help get them back. And here's one of these kings from a place where it said the people of this place were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Verse 23, I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet. And shoe latchets back then, who knows what those were, but I'm just saying. Must have been something. We're going to take one. I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I've made Abram rich. He's so jealous about God. He's like, I wouldn't take a penny from you. You turn around and tell everybody, oh yeah, Abram's rich, but we made him that way. No. He's all glory to God. But it's a mindset. It's a mindset. This is the difference between Abram and Lot. This is one of the main differences. And you talk about a nephew and uncle and how close they are. I mean, you should pick some of these things up. Oh, what's wrong with these old people? I can't imagine how they think. I can't. When they were young, they had to make a decision and say, look, we're going to do this way. We're going to do it God's way. Why are you so crass? How come you can't be more open-minded? How come? Because we decided we're going to do it God's way. You can't explain that to somebody in 5 minutes. We've lived it the last 60 or 50 or 40, however old you are. Said, look, you've got to live some of this stuff. You won't know until you have kids why this is so important. You won't know until you have grandkids why this is so important. But just follow along and see. Look at the examples. And Lot sells out for just, I mean, he called wealth, he called it whatever, potential, whatever. But he saw, and he said, ah. And Abram says, nope. I'm here to help my people. I'm not taking any money from you. And again, it's a mindset. We flip over to, we have the birth of Ishmael here. We need to flip over to chapter number 18. Chapter 18. Abram's going to get a visit. Abram's going to get a visit. Now, Abram's become Abraham in verse number 17. God's given him the covenant. He's been blessed. He's been told about his seed. He's been told about his nations. Young people, you say, well, why is the U.S. so, you know, and it's not always, it depends on who's the president, right? But why are we for Israel? Why are we talking about Israel? Why do we help Israel? Why do we go to the Bible? Go to the Word of God. I mean, you have to go to the Word. There's no other explanation for it. God says the nations that bless thee are going to be blessed, and that's where we want to be. We're not Israel, so we want to be one of those nations that blesses them. No matter what, we're sticking with them because that's God's plan, not because they're anything to us more than what God said they should be. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, we should say, well, favoritism is not important. We shouldn't be favoring one group over another group or this group. And they'll use any kind of argument because it goes with the anti-God movement. Get out of Israel. You can do what you want. It's your body. That's the anti-God way of thinking. We'll take care. No, God takes care of me. Thank you. And this is why we've struggled since whenever when it comes. It's a health thing. Do this. Do this. And we're thinking, we ain't doing that. We'll do that. And that's why I said, look, just do what the Lord has you to do. I want to say do this or do that. I mean, let's look to the Lord for this thing, right? Chapter 18. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. He sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. It was Abraham now. I'll try to be Bible, not call him Abram no more, but you know how that goes. Lift up his eyes and look, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray, to be fetched, and wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree. I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. They said, so do as thou hast said. Abraham hastened to the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, make cakes upon the hearth. Abram ran unto the herd, fetched a calf tender and good, gave it unto a young man. He hasted to dress it, took butter, milk, and the calf which he had dressed, set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And he's going to tell them about Abram having a child and all those things that go on with that, and the you know, the unbelief, the, oh, wow, really? Oh, yes, this is going to happen. But they're on a mission. They're on a mission from the Lord. They're there to talk to him. They're there to go see his city. Because God says, I don't, the Bible says they're wicked before the Lord. They said, we're, all right, it's time. So they're going to go see it. The Bible says in verse number, let's go down to verse number 19 of chapter 18. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring unto Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I'll know. He's going to go check it out. The men turned their faces from thence, went toward Sodom. Abraham stood yet before the Lord. I mean, put yourself in Abram's shoes. Older, you're sitting there. I mean, the day's just starting and here's 3 guys show up. I mean, it's just like this Melchizedek deal. It's some interesting Bible teaching. I mean, it's interesting. The whole Melchizedek thing is he's a picture of Christ. He's the high priest. I mean, he can read the rest of it in Hebrews. There's not a lot written in there, but you can go in and see that. But here these 3 men show up and you just know right off the bat there's something different about them. And they say some things that nobody's ever said to you before. And you're like, okay. And they say, well, man, hey, we're going to go to Sodom. We have to go check this place out. Verse 23, Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Okay. Now his nephew's left and gone. Think he knows where he's at? Yeah, he does. Okay. He's the same situation as loved ones that we have that aren't where we wish they would be in relationship to the Lord. They're out there. And if God says, I'm going to go destroy this place anyway, hey, that's where my so-and-so lives. Abram asked the question, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Abram, did you just read the Bible? The Bible says they're wicked exceedingly before the Lord. Well, what are you talking about, the righteous? Peradventure, and he's going to ask them, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Now remember, Abraham is called the friend of God in the Word of God. He's described as God's friend, and he's going to ask him why. He's just like Moses. He's got all these complainers that he brought out of Egypt. He brought them out of bondage. He brought them through the Red Sea, supplied for them every day. And these people, all they do is complain. Complain, complain, complain. It just, oh. And give Moses the blue ribbon. Because God said, I'm going to start over. He said, don't do it. I'm like, Moses, way to go. Good job. I mean, he did what he was supposed to do at that day. Lord, you see fit. I mean, how many people would have said that? But Moses said, nope, they're God. They're your people. What's everybody else going to say? What are the heathen going to say? He said, you brought them out of Egypt and smoked them in the desert. God, they're going to say, you're cruel. Nobody's going to understand you. And he cared about God. Amen. Same thing. The righteous are yours. But if there's righteous people there, are you going to destroy them too? What's going to happen? And he's God's friend and he begs God and he works on God and he works and he keeps getting the number down. Because in his own mind he says, it is a great sin. It's a wicked place. Could there really be that many righteous people there? But the message tonight, the thought tonight that I want you to take with you this week, and I hear a lot of good things. You guys are saying good things. I hope they're heart deep. You're saying God's sovereign, God's on throne, God knows it's in control. All these things are good things. You need to have those things in there. And this is just another one. Abram asked the question in verse number 50
I'm sorry, verse 50. Verse number 25. That be far from me to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from me. Then he asks the question, shall not the judge of all the earth be right?
Because Abraham had made that up in his mind that, number one, God's the judge of the whole earth, and number two, what he does is right. What God does is right. No matter what happens this week, you have to know that what God has decided is right. It's not the post office that's going to figure this thing out. It's not people with R after the name or D after the name that's going to figure this out. It is God that's going to say, okay, America, here you go. And then, Christians, what are we going to do? That's what it's going to be. Right? I remember Wednesday night last year, it seems like it was last year. I said, this year it seems like it's been 3 years long. It's just incredible. I can't even remember this spring. It's like, it's insane. Normally stuff's going fast. I'm like, it's like, on some levels, like when it comes to quarters and business, I'm just like, it goes by quickly, but in other parts, it's like, seems like, man, it's so long. It's so long. And it seems like, we just got out of campaign season. We just got, no, that was back. But I remember, we're like, whoa. Who knows what it's going to be like? Who knows? Who knows what it's going to be like? And I've listened to old preachers. I mean, this was going on when before President Reagan got elected. I mean, there was all kinds of groups. And people are, well, the same idea. If he gets elected, it's all going to, it's not about that. But this mindset that Abraham says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right. Oh God, you know you've got to do right. Don't you? I mean, yeah, he's going to. But do we believe he's going to? Right? Not, oh God, I hope it helps me feel better. No. Don't you wish Christianity was like that? No, I'm going to do this! Come along with me. Let there be no strife. God makes me rich. He possesses heaven and earth. He's the judge of all the earth, and what he does is right. It's the right thing. Sodom's destroyed. It's a mess. I don't want to read through it all because the kid's being with us tonight, but it is a mess. It's absolute mess. We can go through there with, I mean, just the mindset of the men in there. The mindset of Lot, people. When he offers his daughters to these people, they're so, I don't know what to say, they're so gone that they would not even take a woman's body. They were so gone. That's how bad it was. But no, we want them. We want those men. That's what we want. Lots among them. And again, in the Bible, he's described as lots of he's righteous. The Bible says this kind of stuff vexed his righteous soul. The Bible says, God says, get out. Several times in the Word of God, he tells people to get out. They had to get out of Egypt. It was time for them to leave. The devil, Pharaoh, didn't want them to leave, wanted them to stay close, always wanted them to compromise. You'll read it in here. They tell him, a lot, you need to go. They said, well, man, they go to the mountains. You know, run for the hills. I mean, this is one of those times. I mean, this is like the, well, run for the hills. Run for the hills. Oh, I don't want to run for the hills. But there's a little town over here. Can I just go over there? Can I just go not very far away? Can I just, does it really have to be this drastic? Can I? That's the problem when we pet sin, right? This is like, we don't treat it like it is and just say, get it away from me. We don't want anything like that. We don't want God to judge us. We want us to be right before God. They leave. Nobody comes with them. Son-in-laws die. Verse 26. His wife looked back from behind him. She became a pillar of salt. Okay? All that stuff. She really becomes salt? Yeah. Yeah. Sodium chloride. No, I do not know. The Bible says. Right? I mean, that's crazy. Pillar of salt. He ends up in a cave with his daughters. Two incestuous relationships, one night after the next. And the enemies of Israel are born. It's the craziest. Genesis is some of the craziest books in the whole world. It's like, holy, twisted. Why? Well, we looked and we wanted and we, instead of saying, God, you own all things. You take care of us. You're the judge of all the earth. You are going to do the right thing. And we trust God. We look for other things. Well, if it could be real lucrative for me, I could, you know, just be, you know, there's a little good business trade goes on there and there's this and that and they. No. Remember when we said it used to be a good place to have cattle there? It says before God burned it down. It used to be. Now it's good for nothing. There's nothing good there now. Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing there. I've talked about before, it's been a few years, we talked about brimstone. You want brimstone on the earth, you go to there, where those places used to be. You pick it up off the ground, these little pieces of sulfur. It's around. But God burned it down. Say, oh, God damn, first I'm glad. Ah. Look at what's referenced in the New Testament. We read it this morning. Isaiah said we'd have been like as Sodom and Gomorrah. What's the contrast there? It said the sand of the sea, and we talked about that little vial that we brought back from Hawaii, that little bit, right? Because there was a remnant there. There's no remnant of Sodom and Gomorrah. There's none. Oh, but this person was saying, no, there was nobody left because there was nobody in there that was righteous. That Lot. I don't know if his wife, I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know. Stuff we'll just figure out till later. And you say, oh, you know, I don't know. He's the only one that's mentioned there. He's the only one there. The girl said, well, hey, if dad dies, there's going to be nobody, none of his seed left on the earth. Let's do this thing. And again, it's no different than Hagar saying, well, let's help God out, you know, or Sarah to say, let's help God out. That's going to happen. I don't know how we're going to happen. Let's help God out. Don't help God out. Doesn't need help. He possesses heaven and earth. He does all things. He's going to do them right. Just wait and see. Going to do them right. Your brother walked through the door today. I was pumped, man. I was one of those run around and shout, but we got to have Sunday school. Praise God. I'm just saying, when Rich walked through the door, I just want to run out and shout, right? But to God, man, we're in church. Okay? Just wait. See what's going to happen. Well, how does it happen? Be patient. My soul, that's the God of the universe. Be patient. Man, there was a bunch of stupid things said this coming Tuesday night. Man, there's a bunch of dumb things. I'm like, yeah, just be patient, though. God's not done with us yet. We're still sending out missionaries, right? I mean, God's not done with us yet. There's still a remnant in America. That's what I look at. Not that, well, I can control it. At this spot today, I was like, man, if we could control the base, well, not control, if we could change the base, well, we have to worry about these people who get elected. If the people became godly. Right? Because they pulled from the people to fill that house in Washington, D.C. I said, if the base changed, we wouldn't have to say, well, we need this one person in there because then they can change all that. No, that's how they look at it. Top-down stuff. It's bottom-up here. That's what it's supposed to be. Right? We spread the gospel. We preach. We build churches. We start. We get the gospel out. People say, man, I want to help plant churches in America. And the brother that came up this summer is going to Utah. And praise God. Do it. Do it. Get the message out. Let's make America God's country again. I said, well, we got Christians there. We got pockets of Sodoms. And if you don't think that's true, go to Washington, go to Portland. I mean, there's pockets of Sodom. And it's bad, people. You go down the street and you're like, I'm in a different world. I know they got the flight, but it's like, where am I? This is great. There's pockets of that stuff. And so we just need to burn it. Well, and I make jokes like that sometimes. Well, we have that big earthquake and the right up the coast and well, you know, we start. Man, ain't gonna work. Evil's still gonna, you gotta go in there. How many churches there? How many churches in Seattle? We need godly churches in Portland and San Francisco and some of these places. And you try to say, well, you can go to San Francisco and start up. I don't want to go there. I want to go to Plumbing. No, it's not what I mean. I don't want it to be me, right? But no, in mindset, God help those places. It's still our country. And believe it or not, there's still some godly people there. I know some preachers that are there. And you talk about, well, I think of a lot of our brothers in California. Not a job I'd want to have. I mean, it's like Sodom. It's like I hear California thinking, Lord, help us. Help us! But we need God to be preached there. When we get to the point where it's like, you know what, it's not that important. It's not important that we train up preachers. It's not important that we just, not important to send mission. Not important stuff. We're done. Absolutely done. Worse than anything could happen on any election. Okay? I'm excited people getting off the couch to vote, right? I mean, not so sit here tell you who to vote for, but I have to encourage you. Go vote. Okay? If you haven't voted early, just go vote. Try. Go out there, stand in line, do all that stuff. And again, I said, you're gonna be around people. And be kind. And one of the sisters that goes to Bella Hole, she put a post on it. Man, it was nice. The attitude was great. And the atmosphere was awesome. It was like, good. Good. Wonderful. Right?
And it's your opportunity to exercise in the process. I always said if I got called for jury duty, I'd try to fulfill it because that's part of our process of our living in this country. It's part of what we do. Oh, let me farm that out. I just let this person and give it a shot. Wonderful. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Judge of all the earth. Oh, who would that be, huh? Yeah, that's the problem. Well, we're the judge of the earth because we got 59, or if we got 51 and you got 50 or 49, we're the, no. Or we got this many justices in with it, no. Right? That's, I mean, all that stuff. We're going to act like we're ruled by 9 gods and that's not true. One God. Let's dance tonight. We'll sing. Psalm 278, Jesus is calling. 278, you want to come pray for our country? You can. 278. If in your heart you're unsettled about some of these things, come pray. Settle these things that Abraham had settled. God's blessed me. God leads me. God takes care of me. Let there be no strife. God's my judge. God's going to do right. 278, tonight Jesus is calling. The altar's open if you'd like to come and pray tonight.